Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our sermon text from the letter to the Hebrews. This evening we read in chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. And note as I read this, there's quite a lengthy quote here from the prophet Jeremiah that I'll reference in my sermon. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, dearly loved by God, advertisers love to use words like better, new, improved. And it always remains to be seen if that new, better, and improved product turns out actually to be those things as it replaces the old one. This, however, is not true when it comes to the new covenant that our Lord Jesus has established for us. It is much better than the old covenant. It is much stronger than the old covenant and smarter than the old covenant. This is the new covenant that Jesus was referencing when he instituted the Lord's Supper and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." This evening, as we remember the institution of the Lord's Supper and the great blessing it is to us, we'll look at it in comparison to the old covenant and see why it is better, stronger, and smarter. And we'll come to appreciate, my prayer is that we will do that even more so for the Lord's Supper as we have that new covenant our Savior has given us. And so we look at that under the theme this evening, Jesus, our great high priest, is the mediator of a new covenant. It's a better covenant, a stronger covenant, and a smarter covenant. The new covenant is an improvement. The writer to the Hebrews wrote, "The ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs," referring to the Old Testament high priest, "as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises." On Mount Sinai, 3 months into the Exodus, God gathered his people at the foot of Mount Sinai, and he established a covenant with them. And that covenant was that he would if they obeyed, be his God, and they would always be his people, and they would always possess the promised land of Canaan. And then through Moses, God set down the conditions of that covenant in the Ten Commandments, in the ceremonial law, and in the civil law. The Israelites received those, they heard God's conditions, and they agreed. They said, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. And then God sealed the covenant in blood. They took some of the blood from the bulls that had been sacrificed and Moses spread the blood of the bulls on the people. And then said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of the law, was sealed in that blood of those bulls. What happened? In just a matter, literally, of days, the people broke that covenant. Jeremiah, as the writer to the Hebrews quotes him, wrote, they did not remain faithful to my covenant, as the prophet spoke for God. So that covenant was done. That covenant was broken. God wasn't going to be their God, and they weren't going to be their people, his people forever, and they weren't going to maintain and hold the land of Canaan. And so what did God do? Jeremiah tells us God made a new covenant. God established a better agreement with the children of Israel and really with the whole world. He says in Jeremiah, again the Lord says in Jeremiah, quoted there, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And it's going to be different. And it's going to be better. Because it's made on the basis of better promises. The old covenant was conditional. You know that. You've heard that many times. If you obey, God said, then I will be your God. But the Israelites couldn't do it. Like us, they broke the commandments. They didn't always keep the ceremonial and the civil law as the way they should have. But the Lord said, the covenant I'm going to make is going to be different. It's not going to be bilateral. It's not going to have any conditions. It's simply going to be a better promise. I'm going to make you a promise. And that will be my covenant with you. God said, I will forgive you all your sins. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God forgives and forgets our sins for Jesus' sake. Isn't that much better? Isn't it a lot better than my relationship with God conditional on how well I keep the commandments? Because I know that I cannot do that. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, but wasn't there forgiveness already for the people in the Old Testament? There was. God had promised forgiveness in the Savior in the Garden of Eden, when he promised that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. 500 years before Moses, God had codified that promise with Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a great nation and from one of your offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed, and he will rule over an eternal kingdom. So that new covenant had already been established and in force before God had given the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant did not replace the better promises. The conditional covenant did not replace the covenant of the promise. It served an entirely different purpose. It served the purpose of keeping Israel together as a nation. It served the purpose that it serves for us of showing us our sins and our need for that new covenant of the promise of the Savior. It was a covenant that in the sacrifices and in the priesthood pictured and looked ahead to the fulfiller of that covenant in the perfect priesthood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant as his blood seals that promise, that better promise, that I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember your sins no more. We New Testament Christians have the reality in Christ. We have the reality in the Lord's Supper. Jesus is that mediator of the forgiveness of our sins by offering up his blood on the cross for the sins of the world. God brought us into that covenant relationship through baptism. He is faithful to us in that covenant as a bridegroom is faithful to his bride in keeping his promise of faithfulness to her. God is always faithful. We are not. We aren't always faithful to God. Have you always been faithful to God? Have you never built some idol in your heart that you put before God? Have you ever grumbled about God, questioned him, wondered what in the world he's doing, and where's my explanation? You and I are just as guilty of breaking those commandments as were the children of Israel. And yet each and every time we take communion, each and every time we receive that bread and the wine, and in with and under it, the true body and blood of Christ, we receive that new covenant, that promise, that forgiveness of our sins. That doesn't only assure us that we're the children of God, but strengthens us so that we can remain the children of God and he, our Father. Every time you and I hear Jesus' words, "Do this in remembrance of me," we are reminded of God's promise, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That is a better covenant than the old one. The new covenant is also stronger than the old one. Just like now, everybody in Israel did not believe in the promises that God made, that he was going to send the Savior. And so they had no particular inclination or desire to obey God's will. And so for them, the two tablets of stone on which God carved the Ten Commandments were for them a burden, a harsh weight that they had to carry around in life to have to do these things that God wills and that God commands. And when they did God's will, if they did, it was only out of fear. It was only in a sense of servitude to this harsh God. For them, the law was something that was out here and was a heavy burden and weight on them. But for believers, it's different, isn't it? You and I don't look at God's will and God's commandments as some heavy burden out there that God wrote down that I must obey hesitantly or begrudgingly. The new covenant is a stronger covenant because it's written on our hearts. The will of God is written on our hearts. His love for us in Christ is written on our hearts. Nobody has to throw the commandments in our face to weight us down to make us do it. From the heart, we want to do it. We know God's will. We want to do God's will as His children because of that promise that He has given us. I'm reminded of the author of Psalm 119 who wrote, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. The new covenant has set our hearts free, hearts that know the will of God and gladly and freely seek that will and desire to do it. That's how strong the new covenant is. That's how strong the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our sins is. That it moves us to willingly and gladly reject sin and seek and carry out God's will in our lives. The new covenant is stronger than the old one because the old one had to force people, to scare people to do things. The new covenant's stronger because it simply moves us to be obedient children. We might say it compels us, which is exactly what Paul said to the Corinthians. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus Christ is the high priest, the mediator of the new covenant, the covenant of our forgiveness, the covenant that is the power of God's forgiving love in Christ. How strong is that to make us give up living for ourselves? To make us live for Christ? To make us believe in Jesus as our Savior, who offered Himself, who shed that blood that we receive, that very true blood that we receive in the Lord's Supper. And finally, the writer to the Hebrews points to Jesus Christ as the mediator of a new covenant in that it's a smarter covenant. And it makes us smarter. You know, the people in the Old Testament weren't as smart as us, in the sense that they were looking ahead to Christ. They did not see Him. He had not fulfilled yet what God said He was going to. Now they saw Him in faith. They believed in Him and were saved that way. But we are smarter in the sense that we have the fulfillment. We have the historical fulfillment of the new covenant. The covenant that God made through Jeremiah, that promise, we have seen it come true. Tomorrow night, God willing, in even more detail, we will see it come true as our Savior suffers and dies on the cross, as He sheds His blood as our Savior. But that blood of Christ, that forgiveness of our sins, that new covenant that God promised through Jeremiah is a smarter covenant. And it makes us smarter because it reveals to us our Lord and the meaning of his name. The revelation of the meaning of the name Lord, all capital letters, would come to fruition with God's sacrifice of his Son on the cross. Jesus once said to his disciples, and it is so true of us, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Think of how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the Old Testament believers and the prophets, how they longed to see Jesus, to see God fulfill his promise. Again, they were forgiven through their trust in that promise, but they never saw it. But you have seen it, and so have I. We've seen it in historical record of the Holy Scriptures. Old Testament believers knew the Lord's love. We know the Lord's love because we have seen the glory of the Father come in his Son Jesus. And now we strive to get even smarter. We strive to grow in our knowledge, to grow in our understanding, to grow in our appreciation of what Jesus did. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." How blessed we are when we devote ourselves to growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, to know the blessing of participating even in his sufferings, so that we will participate also in the glory of his resurrection. And we have the privilege of helping other people get smarter about Jesus. We preach the law, but that doesn't make anybody smarter about who their Savior is. That comes in the preaching of the new covenant. That comes in the preaching of the forgiveness of sins through the mediation of Christ's blood that he shed on the cross. We have the privilege of sharing that knowledge of our Lord through personal witness, through our prayers, and with the offerings we bring to support the work of the gospel ministry. Remember, each and every time you take the Lord's Supper, you do what Jesus said you would do. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is, as we sang in our sermon hymn, Jesus' last will and testament of the new covenant. It is a lasting covenant of better promise that dismisses us from the Lord's table in peace. Amen.